It is time for our weekly chat with Mike until we get more sports to talk about and more sports going on. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. So you know what happened to me today?
Your microphone didn't work good?
No, I want you to go to my personal Facebook page. I was walking out to the car carrying a bunch of recyclable cans. And as I get to my car, I look up. And who's about 15, 20 feet away staring me in the face?
Smokey the Bear.
Oh, yeah.
How'd I guess?
So I did take my camera out as I was moving into my car, and I took the picture. He looked at me. I looked at him. It's a good thing I have my Volkswagen where I don't have to unlock the car. I just touch the door handle. And I got in the car, and sure enough, he just moseys up to the car, looks in the front of the car, and then mosey his way along. So what a way to...
That ought to be pretty cool.
It is. And it was funny. People are saying it must have been scary. It wasn't scary. It was just weird. That's all. You know, I have a million pictures of bears, coyotes, and stuff around my house at night, but I haven't come face to face with one. But he or she was kind of cool about the whole thing. So,
well, that was good.
Yeah. All right. So, Esteban Loaiza, remember the Yankee pitcher?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah. Guess what? This is a lesson. This story should be posted in every high school. Every sporting, he blew through $44 million before he was arrested for a cocaine bust. $44 million, Mike.
That's insane.
Just look at it this way. How many people could that $44 million have fed? How many homeless could it have helped? How many veterans could it have helped? I mean, I can go down the list. $44 million is not an insignificant amount of money.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
And it's just an amazing story. An amazing story.
Give me 44. I'd like to try to lose it.
I'm speechless is all I can say. And what it goes to show is that some of the people out there in this world don't give a damn about anything. When they don't give a damn about themselves and they have $44 million and they blow through it, they obviously don't give a damn about their family, friends, or anybody else.
If you don't give a damn about yourself, you can't give a damn about anybody else. That's for sure. If you got no respect for yourself, you can't have respect for anybody else.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday. That was absolutely pitiful. I'm like, how could you screw $44 million away? How?
It's just one of those things. I don't know.
Well, he don't have to worry about it anymore. Now we're paying for him to live.
Yeah, unbelievable. Let's see what else is out there. That's the main story I wanted. Do you see any of the stories you want to talk about?
I got one big one. I'll save for the end. The baseball situation is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're both wrong. But, you know, there's no people in the stands. So the owners are making zero revenue. The only thing they're making is what they're going to make off of TV rights. And these players expect to get paid what they got paid last year, or what they contracted for this year, I should say. And they're only playing, if they play, maybe a half a season, and they still want their full amount of money. Well, that's just wrong. But on the other hand, the other part that's going through, the minor leagues, they're just cutting guys. They're not having teams play this year, and they're doing what they're saying is cutting guys. So I don't know the whole thing about that. Now, are these people free agents? They can go anywhere they want? Are the teams giving up the rights on them? And then when you get to the major leagues, they're really destroying what the people are supposed to make. So both sides here are way, way off. Both sides are way wrong. And I don't think you're going to see any baseball this year because of the money situation. The virus has nothing to do with it. It's the money situation of how they want to handle it. And I think if they started with no people, that by the time they get to August and September, I'm pretty sure they're going to be able to play at least half full stadiums because this thing's fading away quick. And I think that the rains will come off and people will be allowed to live their lives again. So unless both sides move on this, you're not going to see baseball this year.
I don't think we are. That was a story that I had read, and I was going to ask you your opinion on it. I'll tell you what. I don't think you're going to see baseball this year. I just don't.
And you know, I'm usually pro owner, and I could see the owner's side in this, but I mean on the same side, and you're talking make believe money here. Okay, because of the money that these people make, and it's its own monster that's been developed. But that's a story for another time. But somebody that's making $10 million, you can't expect them to accept like $1.5 million. It's a situation where they got to come to a type of agreement, and they're going to have some kind of an agreement where there's going to be a lot of ifs involved. And the owners and the players are going to have to take a risk on it because you don't know what's really going to happen when in the situation. What I mean by that is you're going to be prorated. Like when we start playing in front of people, you'll get more money. And, you know, you're going to have to take a risk on it. Well, let's face it. The guys that are hurting from this are the guys in the minor leagues that are getting cut and they're not getting paid. They're only getting paid $400 a week, folks. There's people sitting home that either got furloughed or unfortunately lost their job. They were getting $1,300 a week on unemployment. These baseball players are getting $400 a week from their ownership. How do you live on that? Yeah. So it's a really bad situation.
Well, I just don't like most labor disputes. I think both sides have their blinders on. And nobody wins. Nobody wins if the season is canceled. Nobody wins.
No.
And I
don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the gap is so big between what the players want and what the owners want. They're both totally unreasonable. And you're playing against time here because Monday's June 1st.
Yeah.
So you basically have a month to not start a camp, to start your schedule,
yeah,
to play a season. And before you start your schedule, these guys are going to have to be back in camp somewhere for probably about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And so you really only got 2 weeks to settle this.
Yeah.
And it's so spread apart, forget it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, it goes along with the weirdness of 2020.
Oh, the weirdness is putting it mildly.
Now, I saw a story, and you can comment, about a Kentucky Derby horse that is not going to
Well, that's where we're going.
Okay, all right.
All right. So I'll start with, we'll call it, you know, the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to start with The Bad and the Ugly and go to The Good first.
All right.
The bad is the two horses that everybody was raving about for Bobby Baffert that won both ends of the Arkansas Derby about a month ago. Remember we talked about that race back then?
Yeah.
And they both won. They both tested positive for drugs. Now, Baffert's saying that it was in the feed or in the water or something like that. But for two of them, that's I don't know what to make of that. So both Bobby Baffert horses, Charlatan and Nadal, are accused or assumed of being drugged when they won the Arkansas Derby. So that happened the beginning of this week, Charlatan and Nadal. Yesterday, Nadal got a condylar fracture of one of his legs and has been retired. So he's out, gone. So within a week, two of the three Baffert horses that were going to the Kentucky Derby, two of them got accused of cheating, and one of them broke down and is gone. So the Kentucky Derby took a big hit this week before we even got into June. The Kentucky Derby is going to be run on Labor Day weekend. So both Bobby Baffert horses are in trouble, and one of the two broke down and is not going to race anymore. So that was the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the good, the horse that I told you guys about all winter long,
yeah,
Maxfield,
yeah,
came off the shelf last Saturday. And let me tell you something. He was the most impressive two-year-old I've seen since Barbaro. And I'll stand to my grave that Barbaro probably would have won the Triple Crown if he didn't break down that year. So this horse came out of the box in Churchill in September, won his maiden race impressively going a mile, went from a maiden race to a grade one, which you've been involved in horses now for a while. You don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only did he go from a maiden to a grade one at Keeneland winning the futurity, he won by almost six lengths. Then he had an ankle issue where they had to take some chips out of his ankle, and he got laid up, and it would have been a race alone to get him to the Derby. But I all the time thought he'd make the Derby. But when this virus broke out, they took their time getting him back. He showed up at Churchill Downs Saturday and was my pick in the Matt Wynn. Just seeing this horse in the paddock looked like something from a comic book. That's how great this horse looked. And the only thing better than the way he looked was the way he ran in the Matt Wynn. He toyed with them horses, and he only ran about a 16th of a mile, and he went from eighth to first and then just cantered across the finish line. Folks, it's going to take a miracle to beat Maxfield in a Kentucky Derby or a catastrophe. This could be one of the best horses of all time, and I don't say that a lot. You know that, Marshall.
Yeah.
And you could see the greatness in this horse after only three races. So if you get a chance to watch the replay of the Matt Wynn from last week, people, you should watch it because this horse is really something special.
All right. Let's take a look at your picks for this weekend very quickly so we can get to the weather.
We had some good picks last week, too, yeah. Maxfield being one of them. Back to Churchill. The seventh race tomorrow is the grade three winning colors going six furlongs. The favorite in here, Mia Mischief, looks real tough. She's a horse for course. Eight starts at Churchill with five wins in 2 seconds. This horse is coming in really good for this race. Should sit just off what should be a fast pace. I'm expecting a dry track. So Mia Mischief's going to be tough to beat, but the horse I'm going to use with him is a pretty long shot here. It's the four horse, Bell's the One, trained by Neil Pessin. He's not that big of a trainer, but this horse has been running in some big races, and if you really look at the one-turn races for this horse runs big going one turn. So the undercard of here has a lot of speed. Mia Mischief's going to sit, and I think Bell's the One is the one that's going to sit as well. This horse has two starts at Churchill with 2 seconds, and I'm just looking for this horse to run second or maybe even upset the apple cart. Horse is training very, very well. 15-1 morning line is going to come from off the pace, come right with me a mischief, and you never know, maybe we'll get lucky. So an 8-4-4-8 in the seventh race in the winning colors tomorrow. The 11th race is another grade three, the Mint Julep, a mile of 16th on the turf. Draws another big field of 14. These fields at Churchill Downs have been just tremendous. Couple horses I'm looking at in here go all the way on the outside to Mitchell Road. He could be the speed, but the post position is just awful. The 14 spot, this horse is 10-1. You can use this horse in your numbers. The inside horse probably is the other speed of the race, Juliet Foxtrot, but this horse hasn't been out since December at Del Mar. So you got two speed horses with two question marks. One is a layoff, and the other one is the post position. So they could be vulnerable, and the two horses I think can benefit from it. One is the 7-horse Secret Message. This horse has run well up at Saratoga last summer, but this horse hasn't been seen since October. So this horse has another issue. So my top pick in here is going to be the 2-horse Bull Recall for Brad Cox. Cox is pretty good with horses off a layoff. This horse is 1-for-1 at Churchill Downs. Ran in three grade ones in his two grade ones out of his three races last year. So this horse definitely has a class edge, and the 4-1 morning nine is not too difficult to take. So going to box four horses here, 1, 2, 7, 14, and I'm going to make a win bet on the 2-horse Bull Recall. And post time for this is at 6:16 tomorrow night our time. And just let me say, between Fox Sports, and MSG, they're showing the entire cards at Churchill Downs, and it's just a great job that they're doing with it. So you can watch the entire card, cherry pick the race you want to watch. You can do anything because they have about 6 or 7 hours of coverage on here on almost every day. So that's our races for the week.
All right, Mike, have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you on Monday. Next Friday.
I wish we were talking on Monday.
All right. Well, have a great weekend,
guys. And watch out for Smokey.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Marshall.
Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.